Amen. I'm glad that all of those who have obeyed have obeyed. Those back during the days of the apostles and the early church, as recorded in the book of Acts and as reflected in other books of the New Testament, I am glad that those who obeyed felt a responsibility and obligation to submit themselves in humble obedience to the will and the word of God, and who were infused with a sincere desire to be obedient to the Lord. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all of them that obey him. I'm glad also that my father obeyed, my physical father. I'm glad that he finally obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. He walked out on the pleading terms of the gospel and left denominationalism behind and embraced unadulterated, undenominational New Testament Christianity. I'm glad that I have been privileged to obey. And I'm glad that all fathers who are a part of the body have obeyed. This is regarded as Father's Day. I think that in a very real sense, as has been stated earlier, that each day can be regarded as Father's Day. We should always express appreciation to our fathers, because were it not for them, we would not be here. And we recognize that not all fathers are perfect. As a matter of fact, none is perfect. But we have some good fathers, and we can be thankful for our fathers. We want to, just to get a look at you, we want to ask all fathers to stand. If you'll stand at this time, please, if all fathers will stand. If you are a father, we're going to ask you to stand. And just remain standing, gentlemen. We're going to also ask if, don't sit down yet. Don't sit down yet. If you have a father, whether he's still with us or not, we're going to ask you to stand. If you still have a father, whether he's with us or not, when I say with us or not, whether he is alive or dead, we'd like for you to stand. If you have a father, whether he's alive or dead, we'd like for you to stand. We'd like for you to stand. Okay, do we have all of our fathers standing? Maybe some fathers don't feel like standing. Okay. All righty. Thank you very much. And I just wanted to do that because all of us have a connection with a father, whether or not he is a father who has passed off the scene, or if he's a father that's still with us. All of us are here by virtue of us having progenitors, fathers. And some of us are blessed to be fathers, but we want to thank God for fathers. And we'd like to challenge fathers to strive each and every day to be good fathers. I want to commend Sister Kuhl. She has some very good information regarding fathers. When you have an opportunity, I'd like for you to take time out and read A Special Man. It is worthwhile reading. So take time out to read what is said in this article, A Special Man. Now, one of the things that I would like to do is, I want to ask you to turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We often quote from or have read Joshua chapter 24, and that's a good place to look at when we're thinking in terms of fathers. But let's, at this point, look at Joshua chapter 1. I'd like to talk to you briefly this morning on Joshua-like fathers. Joshua-like fathers. And in talking to you about Joshua-like fathers, we want to look at some things that are said to Joshua by the Lord that will help us to understand some qualities or characteristics of a Joshua-like father. Now, we've already had it read from Joshua 24, verses 14 through 17, and I'm going to read that again, then we'll go to the first chapter of the book of Joshua. Joshua 24, 14 through 17 again. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. Joshua made a commitment to serve the Lord. And I want to note, before we go to chapter 1, that he committed himself and challenged his followers to serve him in sincerity and in truth. In order for our service to God to be acceptable, in order for it to be genuine, in order for it to be authentic, it must likewise be done in sincerity and in truth. We must be serious about serving God. We must be sincere. We must be authentic. We must be honest if we are to serve God in an acceptable fashion. You see, one thing that we need to always keep in mind, our children, they recognize whether we are sincere or not. Our children recognize whether we are being authentic and truthful and honest or not. They pick up on it. Little children, you don't have to be a teenager or you don't have to be an adult child to perceive whether or not your parents, or particularly in our setting, your father is serious about his service to God. So we need to serve in sincerity. We need to serve in truth. If we are going to be Joshua-like fathers or Joshua-like dads. Now look at Joshua chapter 1. And we want to start with verse number 1. Follow along with us, please. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I give to them, even the children of Israel. There's work for fathers to do. There's work for us to accomplish. Life goes on. Every place, verse 3, that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Note, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. In order for us to claim the promises that God has made to us, we must be obedient to him. And we need to have the assurance that the Lord will be with us as faithful, godly fathers, like he promises to be with Joshua. Notice verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. If we can keep that in mind, fathers, if we can keep that in mind, dads, that God will be with us just like he was with Moses and just as he promised that he would be with Joshua. He promises just as genuinely, just as authentically to be with us. And you might be thinking, well, that was back in the Bible days. That was then, this is now. Well, he still promises that he's going to be with us. When you get an opportunity to revisit Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's talking to us. We can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Wasn't it Jesus who promised in Matthew 28 and verse number 20, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Did that mean us? Exactly, it means us. He's with us just as surely as he was with Moses, just as surely as he was with Joshua. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That encourages me, because we face some very serious challenges in this life, and I need the assurance that the Lord is with me. I don't know about you, but I feel good knowing that the Lord is with me. I feel good knowing that when I have that assurance. Doesn't make any difference what happens to me. Doesn't make any difference what sicknesses or illnesses assail, as long as I have the assurance that the Lord is with me. Doesn't make any difference the trials and tribulations and difficulties by which I am surrounded. If I can know that the Lord is with me, I can make it. I can say in the words of that song that a friend of mine loves to sing, I can take all the madness the world has to give, but speaking to the Lord, but I won't last a day without you. And there's some madness out there that you're going to have to face. There are some folks out there that don't like you. There are some folks out there that will be operating in opposition to you, who will be antagonistic to you, who will seek to undermine you, who will mistreat you. But you can take all the madness the world has to give, whether it's in the marketplace, whether it's on the highways or the byways, whether it's in the job place, doesn't make any difference where it is. And unfortunately, sometimes it might be on the domestic front, in the home, in the house. But as long as you have the assurance that the Lord is with you. He told Joshua, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And then notice verse number 6. We're talking about being a Joshua-like father. Be strong. Be strong and of good courage. We have to be strong, folk. And this is what Paul had in mind in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Undoubtedly, the Lord placed a premium on courage and a premium on being strong, because he repeats it in verse number 7. Notice what he says: only be thou strong and very courageous. Notice that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Obedience is required. We have to submit ourselves to the will of God and do what he asks us to do. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Just follow the straight prescribed path and pattern that the Lord has laid out for you. It reminds us of the words of Jesus in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. For straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Yeah, we can't go over here to the right or to the left. We can't veer off the tested path of truth. We have to stick to the right path. And if we will do this, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You know, we can listen to what folks have to say about having good success. We can listen what the pundits have to say and the success gurus have to say, and we can follow all kinds of ideas of men. But if you really want to achieve good success, if you want to be a Joshua-like father, follow the guidelines that the Lord gives to Joshua here in Joshua chapter 1, that you may prosper whithersoever thou goest. How many of you like the idea of prospering? You know, there's nothing wrong with prospering. Turn with me, please, to a New Testament passage about prosperity. A New Testament passage. Let's look at 3 John and verse 2. See, 3 John has just one chapter, 3 John and verse 2. And this is what John is writing. He said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." We must give priority and preeminence to spiritual prosperity. Spiritual prosperity trumps physical and material prosperity by a country mile. But the Lord will provide both. But we must never allow or never request or strive after physical, material prosperity over spiritual prosperity. Things that matter most must never be at the mercy of things which matter least. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Look again with me verse number 8, and we're still looking at the concept of what it takes, what is required for us to be Joshua-like fathers. Verse number 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." Notice, "but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And I believe that this applies. God will grant us good success, men, as fathers, when we follow the prescription that is given in this first chapter of Joshua. Verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Amen. Do you want to be a Joshua-like father? The keys to being Joshua-like fathers, I think, is clearly disclosed in these few verses from Joshua chapter 1. I want to share just one or two other things, and the lesson will be yours. And I think these things apply to Joshua and to Joshua-like fathers. Look at the word father. Joshua was not only a military leader, but he was a family man. He was an administrator. He was a fighter, and he was faithful. Not only was he faithful and was he a fighter and was he firm in his convictions and his commitments, but he was also attentive. He was attentive to duty. He was attentive to the law. He was attentive to his family, to his wife, to his children. He was not only attentive, but he was able. He had the power, he had the ability, he had the skills, he had the competence, he had the requisite commitment in order to lead his family and lead God's people. Joshua was also an anchor. What is an anchor? Well, anchor is defined as a person or thing that provides strength and support, a reliable or principal support, something that serves to hold an object firmly in place. Joshua was an anchor, and daddies have to be anchors for their families, helping their families to remain stable even amid the storms of life. We need an anchor that holds within the veil. And then fathers need to be trustworthy. You need to be able to count on a father. And not only was Joshua's family counting on him, but the whole nation was counting on him. And more importantly, God was counting on him. Can your family count on you? Can God count on you? You know, God has a lot of confidence in us. We don't need to let him down. He could count on Job. And sometimes we might think it was unfair that he put Job under the kind of pressure he did. Job felt like he was picked out to be picked on, and he was. He said to the devil, he said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? Nobody like him. Take him and do whatever you want to with him. Mess with him." We would have been crying out, No, Lord. But Job stood his ground. Job passed the test. He had a tough time, but God could count on him. God could count on Job, and God could count on Joshua. Can God count on you as a father, as a leader of your family? He was trustworthy. He was truthful. He had to deal with it. I think about particularly the case of Achan, who took the unauthorized and illegal spoil, hid it in his tent, buried it in the ground. Joshua had to ferret him out. And Joshua had to be the one to tell him what was going to happen to him. He couldn't sugarcoat it or whitewash it, had to tell it like it was. Joshua was also, as a faithful father, Joshua was honorable and honest. He was a great example to his followers. He was an encourager. He was reliable. He was responsible. And all of us should be all of those things. And we can, in order to be Joshua-like fathers. Are you here today and you have been negligent in carrying out your parental responsibilities as a faithful father?